strong, silent example of what hard work can look like, mm-hmm. Which is exactly the type of student that we think deserves some additional attention and some recognition for putting in that hard work.
Kari, when the idea for this came up, like they had already, you had already sent out to like every district in our region.
Everyone.
You know, a lot of times people have an idea like, eh, we should do this someday. And it was like, nope, they've already,
it's already
notified.
Gone out. We launched it.
We already have some people nominated. Have you gotten any more in? Or
we haven't yet. So that's okay. Part of, we're kind of waiting. I sent out an initial invite to all of our activities directors and just saying, hey, will you share this with your coaches or whatever? It takes some time. A lot of these districts, you know, some of them you have a relationship with, some of them you don't, which is part of the reason we want additional help in getting this into your local school district and your local students. And we don't necessarily always want that top-down point of view, too, of whether that be the AD or the coaches and who they think deserves recognition. So
is this high schoolers, middle schoolers? Undefined,
roughly high schoolers more. Yeah, 9 through 12. Okay. But yeah, it's intentionally vague, and there's a lot of different ways that students can be doing good things that deserve additional attention. So
community,
we want to leave that
possibly.
Absolutely, yeah. So we want to leave that open-ended enough for whatever stories that need to be told. They kind of find a way to make themselves seen. So
great. So how do people nominate if they are a teacher or a parent and they see someone else that obviously probably not nominating your own kid? That might be a little
not.
Biased.
You can do some self-reflection if you think they really deserve it. Maybe we'll be open to it. But we'll shortly have a form up on KAXE.org. So keep an eye out for that. And it'll just be a Google form. Nothing crazy. Just looking for who is this student and who are you? Why are you nominating them? Why do they deserve this recognition? So taking that, and we'll do an occasional series, no hard and fast regular deadlines on it, but something you can look forward to hearing every now and then on the morning show, and then an additional story on KAXE.org to go with it.
We'll be learning about Abby Damon, the first in our North Star student series. That'll be coming up at 8:45. She's a senior swimmer from Bemidji. Make sure you stay tuned. And tomorrow on the sports page, we'll talk a little more about some of the high school's things going on in sports.
Yeah, lots going on. A little preview, cross country wrapped up on Saturday. So we had two plays from Northern Minnesota, and then volleyball and football are ongoing. So Grand Rapidians, exciting game tonight. Grand Rapids volleyball unfortunately lost in the first round last night to Benilde St. Margaret's. But Grand Rapids football tonight plays Benilde St. Margaret in Brainerd.
Oh, that's funny,
so
that
yeah, nice little chance for some revenge.
Right.
We'll see how that turns out. But yeah, rest of Northern Minnesota volleyball matches are today, as well as most football games are today, a couple tomorrow. So you can find the listing for all of those also at KAXE.org.
Thanks, Megan. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating transitor K210DR in Brainerd at 89.9. Listen at KAXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local, independent, people-powered media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234.
We've been telling you that we've got a Bright Spot coming up. It's going to be at about 8:15 this morning. We're learning about how two people in the Bemidji area have started a tailgate pantry. We're also going to hear next from National Public Radio about how millions of Americans rely on federal subsidies and programs to make ends meet, but the shutdown and other cuts have them looking elsewhere for help. So this is a story about rural social safety net in rural New York. Stay tuned for our local story on this as well.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm E. Martinez.
And I'm Layla Faldin. Millions of Americans have less money this month to pay for groceries and heating bills with the federal government shutdown and assistance programs paused. North Country Public Radio's Emily Russell reports on how people in northern New York are coping.
Packages of food are piled up on buffet tables inside the Adult Center in Saranac Lake, New York. There are loaves of bread, gallons of milk, packages of meat.
You can take two sandwich meats, or you can take a sandwich meat and a cheese.
Maureen McDowell guides a few young women through the food line, listing off additional items they can bring home.
A produce, two breads, and a sweet.
For 2 hours a week, this place opens its doors to anyone in need. McDowell volunteers alongside Ivana Forsyth. Even before the shutdown, when people were getting regular benefits from SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, Forsyth says the food here was and is really needed.
Even if they get SNAP, a lot of times they don't have enough food for their families to get through. So this is an extra place that they can go to help them out.
With SNAP benefits in limbo, Forsyth says there's been a 10% increase in the number of people here each week. Pat Vaughn stopped by to see if there's any food she might want. Vaughn isn't enrolled in SNAP and thinks people should be less reliant on food stamps.
I conserve and I save and I can, I home can, I do all kinds of stuff. I don't wait for handout. I mean, I'm here looking to see what's there, you know, but I normally just do my own thing.
In his second term, President Trump has pushed to cut social safety net programs like SNAP and Medicaid. About a third of people in this part of northern New York are enrolled in that health care program. Meanwhile, a majority of people here voted for Trump, including Vaughn, who supports the president's efforts to shrink federal subsidies.
The government wasn't supposed to be here to take over and live your life for you. They're just a drop back if you need something, and it's supposed to be short term.
But for some people here, certain federal subsidies play a key role in their lives. Florence Wright and her husband live in Colton, another tiny town in northern New York. They usually get money to help pay their heating bills through HEAP, the Home Energy Assistance Program. But the Trump administration is withholding that money during the shutdown. Wright isn't sure how they'll cover the cost.
I mean, we burn fuel oil. What are we going to do if the HEAP don't go through? Yeah. One tank of fuel is half of our income a month.
About 6 million households around the country received HEAP benefits last year. The program was supposed to start accepting New York applicants earlier this week, but it's now on pause because of the shutdown. James Burton from Saranac Lake is worried about how that will impact the tens of thousands of households in this region on HEAP.
It's starting to get cold. We are in the North Country, and they're going to suffer.
Burton is sipping coffee outside a local gas station in the village. He believes President Trump's priorities are misguided, particularly his plan to renovate the White House while so many Americans are struggling to make ends meet.
If they stop building the ballroom and put that money into the community, especially communities like this, we would be okay.
Many communities across northern New York and around the country have been stepping up to help low-income residents, but there's just no matching the billions of dollars that the federal government pays out through SNAP and other programs each month. For NPR News, I'm Emily Russell in Saranac Lake, New York.
Oh.
That is new music from St. Seneca. It's their first album in, I think, 7 years. High Wallow and Supermoon Songs is the name of the release. That was May Day. So it's not May Day. It's November, but
sure.
Still like that song.
Well, and that was one of the ones that was at Judge That Jam.
It sure was.
What were the votes on that one? Do you remember?
I think they were fairly high. And actually, there were a couple comments on that one where it was like, I liked it. I didn't love it, but I want to hear more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was, I feel like that was the song where that was more than one comment in that realm of, mm-hmm. I'd like to see where it goes. Because we only listened to the first like 45 seconds of songs.
Right.
So it didn't give people a full picture of what was going on quite yet. But that was the point.
Yeah. So we were talking about an event that happened last week. We had both the Guess the Groove on Wednesday night. Sounds like that was great at Bridget's mm-hmm. Pub in Bemidji. And then also the Judge That Jam was here at Clacko Brewing. And people are hoping for more of each of those events is what I've been hearing.
They were really fun. And we do, that is in our plans mm-hmm. for 2026. Maybe some album listening parties too.
Fun.
Yeah. So we'll see. Stay tuned for great music ahead at 9 o'clock. Malachi Kunz is bringing you Headwaters. We've also got our latest edition of Spin That Ish, which is from the music team. And just we talk about some of our favorite releases from October. And also new to our website is Fresh Picks, where each week you can go there and find a list. I know a lot of people are like always wanting to discover new music, but they don't. It's a little overwhelming. It's like mm-hmm. a little like walking into a used bookstore sometimes mm-hmm. where you like love it. You want to be there, but it's really hard to figure out where to start.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Fresh Picks is your starter for some new music to add to your life.
There you go.
Yeah. We receive support on KAXE from Dale's Auto Body, serving the auto body needs of Grand Rapids and surrounding communities since 1984, performing auto body and collision repair as well as auto glass replacement, dedicated to getting you back on the road after an accident. More information at dalesautobodyinc.com. And we receive support from North Homes Children and Family Services, providing mental health care in Minnesota. November is National Adoption Awareness Month, highlighting the need for adoptive and foster care families. North Homes provides licensing and case management for those opening their heart and home. More information is available at northhomes.org.
Coming up, we will be bringing you the Bright Spot. You get good news from northern Minnesota. That's going to be the whole hour, actually. Coming up before 9 o'clock is the new segment that Megan Buffington told us about, North Star Student. And we're featuring a swimmer from the Bemidji area, Abby Damon. Stay tuned for that.
The Grand Rapids chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness is holding a webinar on digital well-being today from noon to 1:30. Explore how digital media shapes mental health and learn about community initiatives that promote wellness. Find more info and register at namigrandrapidsmn.org. You know, I think there's a lot of talk around digital wellness within the youth, but I think that in some ways, the youth almost knows how to handle it better than older generations, where this is a newer technology for us or not one that we grew up with.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about this in the realm of within AI. So, you know, those of us who did not grow up with AI, mm-hmm. this is still a very new technology for a lot of us. Well, for everyone. But my 8-year-old was able to detect AI on something that we were watching together way quicker than I was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, okay, I guess I need to take some AI lessons from my daughter.
I've been seeing more and more, you know, just kind of the stuff I might follow on Facebook that's kind of frivolous or, you sure. know, like pop culture sort of stuff. So many more that are just fake of like, especially after like Diane Keaton died.
Yeah.
For some reason, they kept showing people like at her funeral and their talks. And I'm like, they look at it and go, no, you can tell that's not real. What the heck?
I know. I have been seeing that.
You see the faces meld sort of like
yeah.
with the video. It's like
Well, and the voice is just a little bit robotic.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen there being a push within citizens, of course, not within the big entities, but within citizens of wanting an opt out within social media feeds.
Oh,
like, can sure. you just, could there be a blanket opt out of so that you're not seeing any AI mm-hmm. on your feed? Because this is some dangerous territory. I mean, we know, especially within
But that's not going to benefit the social media platforms.
It's exactly. They won't go with it. Yeah. I know. That's why I'm saying it's totally citizen-led, but probably will go nowhere. So we just need to, you know, educate ourselves, I guess.
Looking ahead to next Tuesday, which is Veterans Day, some events going on. The VFW Post 1720 in Grand Rapids is inviting the community to honor veterans. Doors open at 11 with a lunch and a program at noon. Then at Northern Lights Community School in Warba, they invite the public to a Veterans Day program at 1 p.m. Vietnam veteran Dennis Jerome, otherwise known as DJ the DJ, is going to speak about his experiences. And Bemidji Senior Center Veterans Day program next Tuesday is at 1 p.m. The First City Singers will perform and Quilts of Valor will be presented.
We receive support from the First National Bank of Coleraine since 1906, serving the needs of the community and working with their friends and neighbors. With branches in Coleraine and Grand Rapids, more information at coleranebank.com, member FDIC. Support also comes from the Grand Rapids Farmers Market, now offering their winter market once a month with pickup at the Mesabi Trailhead Building inside the Itasca County Fairgrounds. Next pickup date is Saturday, November 22nd from 1 to 2 p.m. Pre-orders are required with more info at grfarmersmarket.org.
I didn't love, baby. In good words, baby, from above. Ain't always easy to supply. But I ain't giving up, baby. In my life was love in full supply. God bless the human mind. Who would dream this sweet design? Even in these days I find this far down the line I find good in. Killed and lost, Daddy. I am the last, Daddy. Last of us. Ain't always easy to believe. I miss my family, Daddy. Even in these days I find this far down the line I find good in us sometimes. God bless the human mind. Find a reason, Lord, to keep on trying. With every tear you cry, find good in us.
You can't mistake that voice.
No way. Brand new music from Mavis Staples. She just released this song this week, Human Mind, and a new album is already coming to us tomorrow, Sad and Beautiful World. Can't wait. Always love Mavis Staples. This is KAXE People Powered Radio. I'm Kari Headland here with Heidi Holton. Winter is coming. Make room in your garage the no-hassle way. Donate your vehicle to KAXE. It's easy and towing is free, plus your car donation helps to keep People Powered Radio going strong. Visit KAXE.org/cars to get your car donation started, Or you can call Heather at 218-326-1234 for more information.
Our thanks goes out to Minnesota Power. They're an elite company powering the region's homes, businesses, and industries since 1923. Learn more about its vision of a carbon-free future at mnpower.com/energyforward. It is time for A Bright Spot, bringing you good news of northern Minnesota. With federal food assistance programs on hold, people are finding ways for neighbors to help neighbors. We're hearing about people who are changing their little free libraries to little free pantries and all kinds of things going on. And you can find a very comprehensive list of food-related resources at kexe.org, but it's probably not all of them, so you can certainly let us know if there are more places where people can get help during these times.
This morning, we're talking with KEXE volunteer Gina the Knife. She is a part of a group organizing a tailgate pantry this Saturday in Bemidji. Good morning, Gina.
Good morning, everyone.
The dulcet tones of our Gina the Knife. Good to talk to you. Well, let's talk about the conversations that led you guys coming up with this tailgate pantry.
Well, honestly, when I first heard about the SNAP benefits being turned off, it was just, my mind went straight to how do we feed people? And I hopped on socials that I have left and people reached out to me. And me and a couple other people are just kind of getting together when we can. We're really kind of flying off the seat of our pants here with this and just trying to get the word out. So it started there. Mm-hmm. It started on socials and just finding people, like-minded people.
Okay, and tell us, what is the Tailgate Pantry?
The Tailgate Pantry is, we kind of came up with the idea because it was right around Halloween and kind of like trunk or treat.
Mm-hmm.
Was kind of what we thought of. And it's kind of the same deal. You can bring, you fill up your tailgate with food or clothes or just anything non-perishable, of course. And you can bring it out. It is going to be on this Saturday, 3 to 5 p.m. Honestly, there are legal reasons why you can't bring home cooked items. But it doesn't mean you can't meet people and start up dinner dates. It's completely community run. If this is something you've sat and thought to yourself, like, I need to do something, please contact us, become a part of it, because we're just really don't know what we're doing, but we're getting it together.
But you're doing it and you're doing,
we're doing
something.
It.
So Gina, have you been taking donations of food, or are you just accumulating what you've got around your area? How are you kind of going about this so far?
I think we have not been taking donations. We've been accumulating our own at this point. And then I personally think if you have anything sitting at home that might be expiring here in a couple weeks, or maybe you recently overstocked and you have some extra, you could just bring that. I do want to say, I know a lot of people are probably not comfortable with crowds. So if you do want to participate in this, but you don't want to stick around and get to know anybody, you can just drop your food items or clothes or whatever off, and then we will make sure it gets to the people. And yep. Then any items that are left over, we're going to get to the Bemidji Community Food Bank as well, or to the next event that we'll have.
That probably holds true, too. If you need food right now, you know, you can talk to people, but also just show up. There's some there, and the community wants to help.
I kind of think of this first run as, I've been talking to a lot of people in the community that have just been wanting to do something and build a food community that's for emergency. We're not trying to take anything away from the food bank. In fact, they were at Bemidji. I'm sorry, I'm not Bemidji Brewing. They were over at Keg, the head. You guys were just talking about her from the Bemidji Community Food Shelf, and she was talking about how they needed money donations for meat. That's their big thing right now. That's another thing we were thinking about maybe bringing a bucket out for. So if you wanted to donate to that, we'd get it to them. We're just coming up with ideas left and right. Just a newsletter that's like, hey, here's where food's going to be available this week, and you can go here for this. Or I don't know. Stuff like that. Just create a food community.
Get a zine going, Gina.
Yeah.
Those still exist.
Yeah, and right.
So Gina, let's be frank here. Also, hygiene products are in this. I mean, that yes. they cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do. That was another thing I wanted to bring up and I hadn't. But yeah, anything you can think of. Another thing I was thinking of is just meeting people while you're there. Like, let's say babysitting situations. Maybe somebody has a day off and you know, they need a babysitter or you can have them or whatever. I mean, there's a million possibilities to get to know your neighbors right now and just to help. I know a lot of single parents go hungry. They'll feed their kids first. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. If you work with someone that maybe looks like they need a little, you know, make a pizza party or something at work and make sure those people are fed as well. I got Jessica here. She's helping out with all this.
Morning, Jessica.
Ujwani and Jess Antla, Indigenous. I'm here to talk with Gina and talk about the upcoming event we have, the Tailgate Pantry on Saturday. Pretty excited. We've got a lot of community members who are kind of coming together to create a mutual aid sort of network. We're hoping, right, Gina, that this will continue on. I know we're all looking mm-hmm. to take care of each other, you know, during times like this where SNAP benefits are being cut and, yeah. you know, nobody should go hungry, not in this country and definitely not during the holiday season, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
did you tell the folks what the HAPS is on Saturday?
A little bit. We're getting in there.
Okay. So, Jessica,
thanks so much for having me on here today.
Yeah, good to talk to you. So,
I wanted to do a quick plug, too, for the Res Kitchen. So, there's a community feeding or a community dinner event in Cass Lake at the White Earth Center in downtown Cass Lake. And they're doing that at 7 p.m. on every Friday through November. This is organized by some really awesome people that I know from working at Leech Lake Tribal College. Some of my former students are gathering to create a community meal at 7 p.m. on Fridays in Cass Lake through November. So,
That's cool.
Yeah, it's just one of the examples. I think a lot of these, you know, community events are starting to pop up because people are really wanting to take care of each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope to see folks out on Saturday.
Yeah.
Well, and what a great way to
got a number of people who are going to be showing up with goods, canned goods, baked goods. All we ask people is that, like, if you come, you don't have to have something to exchange. What we're asking folks to do is, you know, if you show up, just, you know that we are, you know, there to support each other. And, you know, to be mindful of that. And if you have something to bring, that's awesome, but you don't have to.
Yeah,
you know,
if I you didn't just really need to mention the exchanges. We can do exchanges and stuff. There was another thing we were really thinking about, and I forgot to mention that earlier.
Absolutely. You know, and I think the other thing, too, I really want to stress is that this isn't us trying to take away from the food shelf or anything like that. You know, we're still going to be donating $100 to the food shelf next week. And the whole point of this is really to take some pressure off the food shelf and also create another space for people to, you know, pop in, get some food, you know, get some various things they might need, exchange with each other, you know. So, like, let's say
also
you're getting a meal
what
ready.
Exactly the community needs. Right.
Right. You're getting a meal ready and you have everything besides that darn, you know, cream of mushroom soup, right? And so you come to the exchange event, you exchange one of your cans of tomato soup for some creamy mushroom soup, and bada bing, bada boom, you got casserole.
I love this.
It's you know, that's kind of what we're looking to do. And the big thing is just, you know, bring stuff that's obviously not expired, right? So if you come, you know, if you're surfing your pantry like I was doing last night, you know, you find a can from 2022 or something like that, just chuck that one to the side, you know, make sure that you're bringing the good stuff.
We got a lot of those at home.
Thank you guys so much for coming in. I love just the idea of community members.
Really excited and hoping to see some folks out. If we can get a good turnout, it would be good to continue this, right? Gina and I had talked about doing, if not weekly, like biweekly events, sort of like a trunk or treat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was saying that earlier.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that makes it a little more accessible for the wintertime, because at least you'll have a vehicle there, or, you know, other folks will have vehicles there to pop into and warm up. You know, like to be able to have some sort of warm beverage going. I'm working on trying to find a crock pot right now so we can get some warm apple cider going for the event.
I actually have a bunch of that at home.
Okay,
too.
That could be cool.
Yeah.
Well, and Jessica and Gina, not only are you guys doing this Saturday and kind of thinking of the future and how this is going to work, but people are hearing this right now throughout northern Minnesota, and I bet you anything they're going to start doing the same thing.
Yes, please. Get a hold of us at our email, and if you want any ideas, if you have ideas, reach out to us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it bigger. Let's make it all in northern Minnesota.
Great.
If this is something you think is a cool idea, run with it. Please, please.
So that is the Tailgate Pantry this Saturday, 3 to 5 at Paul Bunyan Mall parking lot in Bemidji near Hobby Lobby. You get to bring, take, or exchange food, just as you've been hearing in these last minutes with Gina and Jessica. Hygiene items. Love to see you there. Thanks, you guys, so much for inspiring others to step up and help, and just giving the ideas, putting the ideas in people's heads. This is really great.
Yeah. And it's you can email us at tailgatepantrybemidji@yahoo.com.
You guys are official. You even have a real email. Nice work.
And also, as Jessica mentioned, the free meal in Cass Lake on Friday nights at the White Earth Building. And we'll get that on our list as well. We've got a big list of community meals and pantries open across northern Minnesota. We'll keep adding to that. That's at our website right now at kaxe.org. Keep us posted on what's coming next. Thank you.
Indeed,
guys.
We will.
All right.
Thank you guys so much.
All right. Chimiguich. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you both. The Bright Spot is made possible with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Coming up North Report, and then we bring you North Star Student, a new series from KEXE's news team. And we did get a text in from Jim Gallagher, our host at 1 o'clock today, said, besides being a force for good, Gina the Knife and her friend she brought along were really good at music trivia. They anchored our team last week in Bemidji. Way to go, Gina.
Nice.
Way to go, Jessica.
I'm not surprised by that.
No.
Good work.
Yep.
Programming on KAXE KBXE is supported in part by the Minnesota Humanities Center, distributing more than $6 million in cultural heritage grants. Funds are available to individuals and organizations that will create, celebrate, and teach the art, culture, and heritage of the state's diverse culture. That includes, but is not limited to, Indigenous organizations, historically underrepresented communities, recent immigrant communities, and veterans. Application and deadline information is online at mnhum.org/grants.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. A Hoyt Lakes man was charged with second-degree intentional murder Wednesday in the killing of a 24-year-old Hibbing man. 30-year-old Daniel James Dale allegedly shot and killed Parker Charles Johnson early Sunday in the parking lot of Meadowview Apartments. According to the criminal complaint, Johnson was shot once in the face and twice in the back. The men were separately attending an after-party at the apartments after visiting a local bar. In a statement to police, Dale allegedly confessed to shooting Johnson. He said he'd shot him in self-defense after Johnson took a long gun out of his truck and pointed it at Dale. But law enforcement say autopsy and security footage evidence contradict Dale's version of events. He faces up to 40 years in prison. Dale's unconditional bail was set at $1 million Wednesday morning, and he was still in custody that afternoon. Two groups are taking Hermantown to court over a proposed data center. Larissa Donovan has been following the story.
The grassroots group Stop the Hermantown Data Center has joined forces with the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, the state's largest nonprofit environmental law firm. J.T. Haynes is with the MCEA's Duluth office. He says the lawsuit filed Wednesday is pushing back against the city's Alternative Urban Area-Wide Review, or AUAR, for the proposed development.
This AUAR process that Hermantown and other cities have undertaken, it's not adequate environmental review. We are seeing a pattern of the usage of this AUAR very recently. There's been an unusual number of them this year, and they're all in relation to these data center proposals.
The court case attempts to appeal the Hermantown Council's area-wide review on the basis that the large-scale data center was not disclosed. The Hermantown City Council approved a zoning change for the project early in October, but an October 15th petition prompted the pause of any permits until the Hermantown Council decided its next steps.
There needs to be real environmental review here that complies with state law.
Joe Wickland, speaking on behalf of the Hermantown Council on this matter, confirmed receipt of the lawsuit.
We'll conduct the appropriate review and due diligence and follow the legal process.
Larissa Donovan, KAXE News.
While a majority of Minnesota school districts had their referendums approved Tuesday, that was not the case in northern Minnesota. There were 10 no's and 9 yeses. Chelsea Perkins has more.
We're kind of skipping around here, jumping for joy, if I'm being honest.
That's Crosby Ironton Superintendent Rick Ollie. The district saw its third attempt at an operating levy in as many years pass. A resounding 68.5% of more than 3,500 people who voted said yes. Without passage, the district would face another $1 million or more in cuts, on top of $1 million it's already made. Ollie says the school board was also explicit with what it would use tax dollars for if voters supported the measure.
Our school is a pillar of this community, and we were in jeopardy of losing that. So I think the messaging was outstanding.
Ollie also credits grassroots support groups across the district who helped motivate people to get to the polls. Sarah Nelson Katzenberger is a district parent and a member of Project Unite, a group of parents, teachers, and business owners in Crosby Ironton. She says it was important for this group to figure out who might be getting missed in the district's messaging. A social media campaign idea the group borrowed from Walker Hackensack Akeley took on a life of its own. WHA, by the way, also passed a levy on Tuesday.
There's probably close to 100 people that wrote basically why they voted yes. And it was teachers, healthcare providers, people with kids in the district, people who don't have kids in the district who just see the value of having a strong school in your community.
The Clearbrook-Gonvick School District was one of several that saw their referendums rejected. More than half of the voters there said no to a capital bond request for up to $35 million to upgrade the school. Superintendent Ryan Groh says the district still has options for some of the projects.
The last legislative session, legislators did allow roof projects to be levied as part of the long-term facility maintenance.
We'll be following along as school districts across our region decide how to move forward, whether they got a yes or a no. Chelsea Perkins, KAXE News.
That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is sponsored by Woodland Bank, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Dedicated to serving the financial needs of the community and their customers. More info at woodland.bank.
It's 8:39. You're tuned in to the Thursday morning show. It's People Powered, KAXE. Thank you for being here. Thank you for reaching out and telling us about events like what we just heard about, the tailgate pantry. People are already planning things to do in their communities.
It's inspired ideas right here in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
So thanks to Gina and Jessica. And this is one of the things that I just love about KAXE. Honestly, we've talked about this over the years where like you hear about something in another community.
Yeah.
Even though it's not in yours, it's like it's so inspiring to hear what other people are doing and just regular people.
And not regular people, a couple of powerhouses.
I know.
Gina the Knife and Jessica Santola.
That's true.
We're so glad that they joined us this morning, and I bet you they'll keep us posted, and we'll find out about upcoming events as well.
Support for KAXE comes from Grand Itasca Clinic and Hospital, home to an experienced OBGYN team that provides comprehensive women's health services, including maternity and advanced gynecology care, all in Grand Rapids. Learn more at granditasca.org. And support comes from Itasca County Habitat for Humanity, hosting their annual fundraiser, Building for Tomorrow. It'll be on Tuesday, November 18th from 4:30 to 6:30 at the Cohasset Community Center. Event includes appetizers, silent auction items, and more. Full details can be found at itascahabitat.org.
The Pine River Market Square has their last market of the year. That is this Saturday from 10 to 2, indoors at the warehouse located on Norway Avenue. Find local produce, baked goods, crafts, and more.
Local author Candace Simar will celebrate the release of her latest book, Montana Matrimonial News, tomorrow from 1 to 3 at the Brainerd Public Library. She'll give a short talk at 1:30.
The Crossing Arts Alliance hosts their Sweet Life Poetry Reading on Saturday, 1 to 3, Central Lakes College Library in Brainerd. The winners from Lake Country Journal's Poetry Contest are going to read their poems, and there'll be other several other entrants. live. Light refreshments will be served.
And Northwoods Friends of the Arts and Cook is featuring Native American art during this month of November. There's an opening reception tomorrow from 5 to 7. Gallery is open Thursdays and Fridays from 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1.
Also going on First Friday in downtown Grand Rapids, Katie Marshall will be joining us tomorrow morning, but there are two new exhibits opening up at the McCroskey Arts Center that begins at 4 o'clock throughout the town of Grand Rapids.
Support for KAXC comes from the Children's Discovery Museum in Grand Rapids, offering a hands-on learning environment for children to develop skills and grow their imagination. With a new bear cave and Ojibwe constellation exhibit and a kid-sized credit union to learn banking concepts. Hours and weekly programming available at cdmkids.org.
This is the set list on KAXC, where we highlight live music around the area for the upcoming week. I'm Malachi Coons. We are taking a look at five shows this week, November 6th through the 8th, in Gilbert, Grand Rapids, Nisswa, and Bemidji. First up, Rich Mattson is performing solo at the Orr House in Gilbert Thursday at 6 p.m. The Minnesota music scene veteran of bands like The Bitter Spills, Glenn Russell's, Ole Yeller, Tired Eyes, and many more is still going strong with his current band, the North Stars. He plays solo sets every first Thursday at the Orr House in Gilbert. On Friday, Michaela James is playing at Rapids Brewing in Grand Rapids at 6 o'clock. She is a singer-songwriter from Rapids who is currently based in the Twin Cities. She specializes in acoustic sets with guitar and ukulele. Michaela James at Rapids Brewing this Friday. Annie Humphrey and the Fire in the Village Collective have two stops on their fall music and arts tour this weekend. On Friday, they will be at their Room 203 space at the Old Central School in Grand Rapids, part of the First Friday Art Walk. Then on Saturday, they will be at Headwaters Music and Arts in Bemidji. Concerts with Humphrey are both days at 7 p.m., with additional arts events and gathering time during the day. The theme for the fall tour is the Warriors and the Powerless. One more show is the latest in the Grassroots Concert Series in Nisswa. Folk singer Kelly Hunt is playing at 7 p.m. Friday night. Based in New Orleans, Hunt's music draws from a wide range of influences, like the classic folk of Joni Mitchell, blues of Mississippi John Hurt, and even classical composers. It's Kelly Hunt this Friday at the Journey Church in Nisswa. The set list is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
...8:43, coming up, our new segment, North Star Student.
We receive support from the Bonner Eye Clinic with locations in Grand Rapids and Hibbing, offering cataract surgery, LASIK, and general eye exams. BonnerEyeClinic.com. Let us help you see clearly.
North Star Student is a new series from the KEXC News team. We're featuring Northern Minnesota students who deserve to be recognized, whether that's for their athletic accomplishments, their artistic endeavors, academic achievements, or other efforts.
Abby Damon is our first North Star student. She's a senior swimmer from Bemidji.
Megan Buffington has the story.
KAXE is introducing a new series, North Star Students. We want to highlight Northern Minnesota students who deserve to be recognized, whether that's for their athletic accomplishments, artistic endeavors, academic achievements, or other efforts. Bemidji senior Abby Damon was nominated by her swim coaches, Lisa Freet and Danielle Bartz. They say Damon is really stepping up as a leader this year, volunteers many hours, and is a strong, silent example of what hard work can look like. I recently talked with Damon and Bartz, starting with how Damon got into the sport.
I started swimming when I think I was like 5 years old, when I started club swimming.
When you were learning to swim, was it already in kind of a competitive sort of setting?
Well, my oldest brother swam and he's 12 years older than I am. So that's what kind of got me into swimming. And then I kind of just went into bass right away and we just did like little fun meets at our high school here. So it was kind of competitive, but it was also super fun. So
why stick with it? I'm assuming you like your brother and that's helped.
Yeah, you know, it's really taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about leadership and, you know, swimming is definitely not an easy sport. It can be mentally and physically really challenging. So it's really helped me in like that aspect of things. And I've met a lot of really, really cool people through the sport. So
when you say it's helped you outside of swimming, is there a specific time or like scenario you can think of where you're like, I've developed this skill because of swimming and it's helped me out in this situation?
I would say I'm definitely more vocal. Like I used to be very introverted, like especially like 4 years ago when I first was on the team. But now I feel like I'm more vocal and I'm more like outgoing with my peers, even in school too. So that's really helped me a lot.
So what events do you swim and which is your favorite?
So I swim kind of a lot of events, kind of switches up. I swim the 200 IM, the 200 free, the 100 breast, the 500 free, and then like relays. So we have the 200 free relay and the 400 free relay. My favorite is probably either the 100 breast or our 200 free relay is pretty awesome too. That's one of my favorites.
How come?
Because I just have my best friends on the relay team with me and it's super fun. And we're chasing a record this year, so it's even more exciting for us to do.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Yeah, so we're last year at sections, we were, I think, a second and a half off of the record. Or like a second, maybe. And a lot of us are better last year at this time than we were last year. So I think this will be our year, hopefully, that we can knock that record down.
Is this something you guys are thinking of constantly at like practice and always watching your times, or like what's going into hoping to break that?
Well, at practice every day, I feel like we're talking about like what each of us have to split individually to like make the time, and someone could go like a 24 and someone could go a 26 and then we could still break the record because obviously some people are faster than others, but yeah, we think about it every day, especially in meets too. I feel like we're constantly trying to cut time off of our previous time to hopefully just give us motivation even more for sections to break the record.
Any more goals for swimming or just this school year besides that?
I would like to make state time in 100 breaststroke. My last year's section time was about second off of that. So I'm really hoping I can get state time this year and go to state.
What is your favorite swimming memory from all your years in the sport?
Ooh, obviously all the friendships I've made, like some of my best friends are from swimming and I'll just always cherish those memories that I've had with them. But also another one of my favorites is 2 years ago, every single meet we went to, we stole a cone from there.
What started that?
It's just some girl on our team was like, oh my gosh, we should steal his cone because it was like super duper big. And I was like, no, we can't steal that one. We have to steal a little smaller one. And then ever since then, we honestly just, that entire year, we stole a cone from every single meet. And I don't know where they are now, but
I did not know about this.
You didn't know about this? I did not
encourage that.
Yeah, another one has obviously our relay. That has been like one of my like favorite memories too. I just really enjoy swimming that with my other friends. So
tell me about your relay teammates.
So one of my best friends, Ellie Will, she is on our relay. And then we have a ninth grader who's super fast named Finley. And then we have Kira, who I feel like Kira is like a little mini me. And she's a 10th grader, so. And I'm all super close to them.
What's it like being able to coach up those underclassmen now that it's your last year?
Yeah, like looking, I was a 7th grader when I came on the team. And I was on like the varsity relays with the older people. And they really taught me a lot. So I want to take what I learned from them when I was younger and apply it now to the younger kids and my teammates.
Any specific lessons that you're like, I really wish I would have known this when I was starting out?
I mean, you really have to work hard to get where you want to get, but also have fun doing it. Try not to take it too seriously. Like you're going to have good and bad days, but don't let that get to you. Just brush it off. And then hopefully next meet you can come back even better. So
I wanted to ask about, you know, swimming's not one of the major sports, especially not in northern Minnesota. There's not a lot of schools that do it. So what does it mean to you to be able to represent, I mean, not even just Bemidji, but especially at those larger meets, kind of a region as a whole, because it's not as big up here.
Yeah, I'm super honored. This is a super cool opportunity. I want swimming to get put on the map more. People don't think it's a sport, but it really is a sport, and it's really hard. And we work just as hard as any other sport, so this is a really cool opportunity.
I'm curious, is there any sort of, like, especially when you're going to meets, like, further south, and then when the team gets a seat and those sorts of things, is, you know, you hear about, like, 218 hockey and that reputation. Is there any, like, oh, we got to represent 218 swimming, or is it more communal than maybe the hockey culture is?
It's way more communal than a hockey culture. I don't think there's anything, like, there's not any, like, big organization, you know, in swimming, in Minnesota, at least.
No major rivalries or anything like that?
I mean, I feel like Brainerd is a pretty big rival. Like, in any of our sports in Bemidji, though, you want to beat Moorhead and Brainerd. I feel like those are our biggest rivals.
How's that been going this year?
It's been super good, actually. We just had a meet against Moorhead last night, and we only lost by 4 points. So we had a really good fight against them. And we've been to Brainerd just one time, just with us and them, a dual meet. And we lost that, but also it was our first meet, and it was a learning experience for a lot of the younger girls, and it was a learning experience even for me, and I learned a lot from it, so.
Danielle, I want to pull you in here now. That was, I don't think a lot of, after a meet last night where you lose by 4, I don't think a lot of high school seniors would be framing it as, oh, we only lost by 4, it was close, you know? What does that say about Abby as a swimmer, and just as a student?
Just a great positive mindset, and like she said, just learning from meets, whether you win or lose, there's always a takeaway. And we swam a great meet yesterday. I'm not upset at all that we lost. The girls were dropping time, they were close to their times, and yeah, just keeping, like she said, a positive and taking some learning opportunities out of it.
And I know Lisa had kind of said you guys worked together to throw out a couple of names for this nomination process. What made you want to put Abby's name in the hat?
Just wonderful human being. She's a hard worker. She's positive. She's encouraging, good athlete, or good student athlete. And so I think she's kind of got a good holistic picture of, or like working towards, you know, the academic and the athlete part, and being a good role model for everybody. She's inspiring to me every day. So, that should be a perfect candidate.
Do you have any favorite Abby memories?
Oh, man. I don't know if I can think of anything on the spot. She's just a joy to work with every day. She's always working hard, which is awesome to see. And just smiley. And... yeah, I'm trying to think of like a fun story, but
Fargo.
West. So we have a West Fargo invite every year, and I think even this year,
yeah,
she was sick. Every year she's been sick. The first year I was with the team, we ended up having to pull over because she was barfing on the bus. but she's still like, she was a trooper about it, and yeah. So this year she got to compete again, which was exciting. But yeah, still got sick. She's consistent. We like to talk about that quite a bit, I guess.
Abby, I wanted to ask you, what achievement in swimming are you most proud of?
I think I'm really proud that I've always kind of kept like a positive mindset about things. Like sometimes after a bad race, I'm like, oh my gosh, like that was just awful. But I've never like tore myself down to a point where I'm just like, I'm absolutely not doing this anymore. And also achievement, I just hope I have made a lasting impact on the younger girls on the team, and that they can look up to me, and hopefully in the future they want to be like, have some of my traits too. So
what about outside of swimming? As you're, you know, senior year, you're looking back quite a bit. What are some of your kind of accomplishments, whether in school or in other activities that you're proud of and thinking about a lot these days?
I'm really proud of like my work ethic, especially in school. Like, I go home and I have a routine every night, and I do homework for, like, 2.5 hours, and it sucks. But also, like, you feel good when you have the grades you do. So school has been a big accomplishment for me.
And Danielle, is there anything? I don't think Abby's the bragging type. So is there anything she didn't say that she should have?
No, I think she's got it. Yeah, I'm glad that you're proud of how you're working hard in school and in the water, and seeing that, putting all that hard work and the time, and like it really can suck sometimes a lot, like it's worth it. And she's able to see that and know that it's going to be paying off in the end.
What else are you involved in? Any other sports or volunteering or anything like that?
Yeah, so I do basketball in the winter, and I'm also part of Unified Sports. So it's just kids with intellectual disabilities, and I get up like play soccer and basketball and just tons of different sports with them. So
how'd you start doing that?
Well, it was just like a gym class that was offered my ninth grade year. I was like, oh, well, this would be kind of cool because I know some people with intellectual disabilities. So it's like, oh, it'd be fun to be having the class with them. And then ever since, I just fell in love with the kids and the class. And it's just an amazing opportunity for me and for them. So, yeah, I wanted to be part of that experience.
What's next for you after graduation this spring?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking into maybe swimming in college. I'm kind of still on the edge about that. Like, I'm not quite sure. But I don't know what college I'm going to go to yet. But my plan is to go for nursing, so.
Well, best of luck. I hope it works out to find somewhere to keep swimming if you choose to do that.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Bemidji swim coach Danielle Bartz and senior Abby Damon, our first ever North Star student. Visit KAXE.org for photos and more on Damon. There you can also nominate someone you know for North Star student. We want to highlight students that might not always be in the spotlight, but deserve to be recognized.
That is our new segment, North Star Students, and you can also be a part of it. You can nominate a student where you are and or let people know, coaches or that kind of thing, that they can also nominate students like Abby Damon. Good to meet her this morning.
That's right. The KAXC News team is working on this new segment, and just again, reminder, it is including athletic accomplishments, artistic endeavors, academic achievements, community efforts. It's a very broad category of inspiring and great students throughout the northern Minnesota region.
That's what you hear when you tune into KEXE. It's the good things happening. It's the troubling things happening. It's life here in northern Minnesota. Authentic reporting from where we live.
We receive support from Rapids Brewing Company, a place for gathering and community, featuring live music multiple times a week, farm fresh food, and rotating beers from their own brew house. More information about their events, music, and menu available at rapidsbrewingco.com.
And thanks to Grand Rapids State Bank. They're committed to serving the Grand Rapids area for over 110 years. More at grsb.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Stage North Theater presents 10 November, The Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald, November 7th through the 10th at the Franklin Arts Center in Brainerd. Find showtimes and tickets at stagenorththeater.com. Yesterday morning, I woke up with the song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, in my head. Not even like putting, I somehow subliminally must have known that this anniversary was happening.
And you were talking about Gordon Lightfoot's daughter.
Right. Like, it's Meredith Moon. She's out with a new album. Mm-hmm. But apparently the 50th anniversary is on Monday, Jennifer was saying yesterday. Okay. So it's a big anniversary this year.
Sure.
Did you grow up learning about that? Or do you remember when that happened? Like, did it make news? Big news. You would have been young, but
yeah, not necessarily. The only reason I knew is because my brother was a huge Gordon Lightfoot fan, and so it was always coming out of his room. My brother Tim. So
okay, yeah.
I didn't really know what it was.
Yeah. How many years after did he write? I should know this. How many years after did he write that song from the wreck? I wonder.
I don't know.
We'll find that out.